There's nothing scarier than trying to find a doctor. Take it from me. Being a final girl means that once the chase is over, I need fast, reliable, in-network medical care. And that's why I use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. And the appointments happen fast, usually just 24 to 72 hours after booking. But you can even score same-day appointments, which is a literal lifesaver in my line of work. So what are you waiting for? Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/13 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZocDoc.com/13. ZocDoc.com/THIRTEEN.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. Before we get started, as always, we want to thank our new patrons, Trisha Montero, Sarah, Phil Vabulous, Beth Monago, Elaine Capel, General Iceberg, and Janelle Peoples. Thank you guys so much for your support, and welcome to the Pod Fam. If you'd like to hear your name before an episode, then you should check us out on Patreon. Our patrons get access to an exclusive RSS feed where they never have to listen to ads. Tiers $5 and above get access to over 4 years of bonus stories, plus perks like stickers and merch. If any of that sounds good to you, then just click the link in the show notes to learn more. And without further ado, today's story is The Square in the Wall by David Andrew Laws. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show.
The square in the wall was 8 inches tall, 8 inches wide, and seemingly infinitely deep. It couldn't accurately be called a hole when it was made of such precise right angles. Anaya had to stand on tiptoe to gaze into the void that had so suddenly appeared in their bedroom wall. But she was much less inclined to do so than her husband, Michael, who found the square absolutely intriguing. At his height, he could stare down into it easily. And he did so for the majority of his final days. When she complained that it was keeping her up at night, Michael told her that she was being ridiculous. It didn't make any noise. There was nothing coming out of it. No light, no wind. So what was keeping her up? She would argue that it was unnerving, as was his fascination with it. When she would look in its direction from the bed, even if she couldn't see it through the darkness, she could sense it. As if it were a living thing. As if it were looking back at her. Sometimes, gazing into the darkened room, she would hope against hope that it had disappeared, or that it had been a trick of their imaginations all along, some sort of hallucination. But her eyes would adjust, and it would fade into view, and she would hate it. willing it to close or disappear. But the square hadn't closed and it hadn't disappeared. It had opened, or rather it had just begun to exist on a Tuesday. And now it was Friday. Had it really only been there 3 days? Michael had been the first to discover it. And when he called Anaya in to ask her about it, to show her this marvel and have her appreciate it alongside him, he had been disappointed and she had been angry. She asked him what it was, and when he replied that he didn't know, the gentle curiosity in his voice, it was, for a reason she couldn't yet grasp, demoralizing. He explained that he only called her in to look at it with him, not to have a discussion about how it got there, or how they'd lived in the house for 8 months without noticing it, or what they were going to do about it now that it was here. These were Anaya's concerns, alone. Michael, it seemed, was content to observe. So, the more Anaya expressed a resolve to uncover the square's origins, the more disinterested Michael became in sharing the anomaly with her. On the morning of the square's discovery and their initial discussion, Anaya was able to pry Michael away. She reminded him that they had made dinner plans and that she would meet him at El Mayo's after work. Michael agreed with an uncharacteristic apathy, which frustrated and hurt her. But at least it had gotten him away from the wall. He followed her downstairs with only a fleeting glance back up toward the bedroom. Anaya was able to convince herself that all she had to do was put it out of her mind and out of his, and that they would both be distracted by the comfort of their daily routines. But she knew that when night came, the issue would reemerge. Work and dinner kept her mostly occupied, though not as deeply as she would have liked. Working separately, they each had to drive, which meant no more than a glass of wine each. So Anaya had treated herself to dessert instead, while Michael enjoyed a coffee in her company. They had laughed and joked and flirted. And, for the last time in their lives, everything was normal. Back at the house, Michael mentioned the square before they'd even made it upstairs. This prompted Anaya to begin proposing solutions. She wanted to hang something over it, a towel at least. Michael argued that it would look tacky. And besides, what harm was it doing anyone? Anaya expressed concern that something might crawl out of it, a mouse or a bug, or what if a bird flew in from outside? Michael had laughed, which made Anaya bristle. Although it was on an exterior wall, he assured her, all too casually, that the thing clearly didn't lead outside. She was irritated, but when she looked at the square again, she had to concede that he was correct. It didn't make sense. The tunnel formed by the perfectly shaped square was deep, deeper than it had any right to be. Each side was the same dark purple of their bedroom walls, and it continued on further than it should have, until the inner walls simply ended in a point of darkness, too far away for their eyes to make out. If this were just a hole in the house, Michael assured her, he'd have fixed it right away. But this was something else, and they owed it to the singular nature of the thing to grant it further examination. Anaya caved, her fighting spirit somehow weakened by the curious, almost affectionate way that Michael spoke about the phenomenon. They agreed to have someone over tomorrow to look at it, and to try and break their stalemate about how to proceed. That night in bed, Michael had wanted to make love to her, but Anaya refused, not because of the square. She just wasn't in the mood. Michael had demurred, and they soon fell into a steady sleep. Anaya sat up in the night, only the once. She watched the square as it sat, unchanging. She went back to bed, feeling silly. On Wednesday morning, she woke to find Michael standing across the room, not gazing into the square as she first assumed, but pondering his best friend, Alexander, who was peering into the depths that ought not have been there. Squinting at her phone, Anaya wondered what Michael could have said to get Alexander over at such an hour. As he examined the opening in his friend's bedroom wall, Alexander, it seemed, was starting to wonder the same thing. With his brow furrowed, Alexander gazed into and around the square from several angles. He assured himself and was assured by Michael that no, this wasn't a prank. He had a strange urge to reach in and feel the interior, but an even stranger compulsion to keep as far from the inside of that thing as possible. He asked Michael if he had felt around inside the square, that maybe it was an optical illusion, that it really didn't go as far as it seemed. Michael's response was the reverence of a boy during his first exposure to a higher power. He hadn't dared. But would Alexander like to? He would love to share the experience with him. Alexander declined, chuckling awkwardly at Michael's soft severity. When Michael pressed him, Alexander agreed that yes, it was something all right. And this seemed to please Michael more than any reaction his wife had had to it. After much goading, Alexander agreed that he'd stop by again with his girlfriend, Shayna, maybe tomorrow after work. Michael was convinced that she'd love it, and Alexander conceded, if only to end this odd experience. All this happened, and Alexander was on his way out the door before Anaya was even out of bed. He had at least waved faintly at her on the way out, but Michael hadn't so much as acknowledged her existence. As soon as Alexander was gone, Michael had taken up the mantle of staring down the long, purple tunnel in a way that made Anaya queasy. She slipped out from under the covers and approached him from behind. When he didn't respond to her touch on the small of his back, she wrapped her arms around his torso and lifted her chin onto his shoulder, trying to see what he saw in the thing. When nothing extraordinary or even unusual happened, she tried to rouse Michael vocally. He didn't respond. She decided to choose her battles and left the room. She could sense that there were more battles to come. If he was right and the square wasn't hurting anyone, then what was the harm in letting him remain a little distracted? He would snap out of it soon enough. The shine would wear off, she was sure. Downstairs, she was performing her daily ritual of coffee and online news. She stewed. She felt a keen jealousy for the square and found it distasteful, both in the feeling's existence and her admission of the feeling itself. She wasn't sure with whom she was more upset, herself, Michael, or the square. Eventually, she heard the familiar rhythm of Michael's feet descending into the front hall. When he joined her in the kitchen, already dressed and ready to start the day, she felt a twinge of embarrassment. In her imagination, she'd seen him standing and staring into the square for the past half hour. But it was clear now that he'd broken away at some point and gone about his routine. She was still in pajamas, but here was her husband, smiling and ready to start the day. Everything was more normal than she was allowing. She tried to laugh this off, but the square lingered. Neither of them worked on Wednesdays, so they decided to make a day of it. Anaya led the charge that they should get out of the house again. Michael seemed hesitant at first, but she chastised herself when she noticed this, assuring herself that she was making so many things out of nothing. This wouldn't be a big deal if neither of them let it become a big deal. And she certainly wasn't going to escalate the circumstances unnecessarily. They took Michael's car into town. They stopped at a familiar bookstore, had lunch, and went for a walk in a nearby park, reminiscing in the way that young, newly married couples do. But evening eventually came, and with it, inevitably, so did the square. Neither of them had forgotten about it, of course, but she'd been able to keep it out of conversation all day, letting it fester instead in the back of her mind. This only seemed to strengthen its ability to divide them. They didn't have to actively deal with it until they moved upstairs to the bedroom. And once there, they decided individually to continue not dealing with it. They prepared for bed in silence, and Anaya forced herself not to monitor Michael, not to check in every few seconds to see if he was peeking over at the square. But she wondered. In bed, they exchanged the usual goodnights, but no more was said about the square and what they were or weren't going to do about it. When Anaya woke in the middle of the second night, it hadn't been directly because of the square, but because she sensed movement. She realized that Michael was no longer beside her, but sitting at the foot of the bed. His shoulders were hunched, elbows on his knees, hands hanging limply between his legs. And sure enough, his focus was on the wall opposite them. Her vision was slowly beginning to perceive the square. She asked him if he was all right, and after no response, she asked him to come back to bed. He responded after a moment, as if he hadn't heard her. She had to ask him what he'd said. He'd mumbled it in a way that made her think he actually wasn't talking to her. Maybe he was sleepwalking? Repeating himself, he asked more clearly where she thought it went and what she thought was down there. They were simple questions, but they chilled her, and she refused to discuss it. Especially this late at night, when such things like this were inevitably heightened to horrific possibilities. Instead, she wrapped herself deeper into the covers and insistently pictured herself sleeping, so that soon enough, she was. It was by pure coincidence that she first stopped Michael from reaching into the square. On Thursday morning, she was getting up before him and averting her eyes resolutely. She made it downstairs without so much as a glimpse of the square. There was always the possibility that it had vanished overnight, but she knew better. She was starting to feel it boring into her, as if she would develop her own square-shaped pit before too long. With the coffee brewed and drunk and the headlines scanned, she felt the natural morning urge to pee. She went upstairs to use the restroom and moved silently so as not to wake Michael. As she entered the bedroom, she saw him already awake and she froze. He was standing, entranced, with his fingers hovering near the square. His face was flushed, like someone teetering on the brink of a life-changing, death-defying leap. She called his name in shock, and his eyes snapped to her. When she asked him what he thought he was doing, he'd laughed. It was a laugh that began to border on mean. She pressed him for an answer, but he remained dismissive. So what if he was going to reach into the square? There was nothing dangerous about it. There wasn't even anything in it. Then why do it? To this, he didn't have an answer. Nonetheless, he was back with her, enough that he shrugged off the whole event and agreed to join her downstairs. She still had to pee, but she was willing to hold it if it meant getting him away from the square, even momentarily. After breakfast, they'd gone back upstairs to prepare for the day. Michael stayed focused enough, but this time, Anaya did catch him glimpsing at the wall once or twice, as if he were approaching something puzzling, but from an angle he couldn't quite discern. She was able to keep him occupied enough, and soon, they were both prepped and out the door at their usual time. They said goodbye, have a nice day, and got into their vehicles. Anaya spent some time searching for nothing in her purse. Trying to ensure that Michael left the driveway before she did. Trying to make sure that he left the driveway at all. In her mind, she could picture him waiting for her to leave and then sneaking back up to the bedroom to be alone with it. To gaze into the abyss. But he was on his way quickly, and she followed suit, heading west as he traveled east. She realized as she drove that if it were that important to him, he could just wait until he was certain that she was at work, maybe even call and anonymously ask to be connected with her, ensuring that he would have the house to himself, the room to himself, the square to himself. She yelped in frustration, banging her hand on the armrest, jostling CD cases and herself. She was making herself crazy, and surely she was obsessing over it more than he was. Alexander would be over again with Shayna that evening, and between the three of them, she was sure that they could talk Michael into doing something, something sensible, like plugging the tunnel up. If it were important enough to him to sneak around, then so be it. It would be filled in soon enough anyway. She was suddenly, entirely, resolved. The workday passed. Some of it, she noticed. She was productive, if not entirely present. And then, finally, she was on her way home. She pulled in to see two cars already in the driveway. She prayed they'd be able to make Michael see sense. This hope was shattered, however, as Alexander stormed out into the front yard. She asked him what happened. He told her that if the two of them wanted to stand around staring into a hole in the wall for the rest of their lives, they could be his guest. He wasn't really talking to her so much, as he was still shouting back at the house and up at them. She tried to get in between Alexander and his car to find out more about what had happened, maybe to regain him as an ally, but he wouldn't be stopped. As he peeled out of their driveway, Anaya turned toward the house, nervous of the prospect of what she might find, but she already knew. She made her way upstairs, gingerly, as if she were a trespasser in her own home. She could hear Shayna's and Michael's voices. They spoke in low, respectful, and admiring tones. Michael was standing near the bed, checking in with Shayna about whether she was comfortable enough. She assured him that she was fine. She could see perfectly well from where she was. Anaya watched the pair, so much for presenting a united front. If anything, the three of them were united against her. She called Shayna's name, hoping against hope that there was some semblance of reason left in her friend. Shayna ignored the words, or she didn't hear them. Or maybe the sound was sucked down into the void and swallowed forever. Michael was also transfixed, hypnotized. All at once, enough was enough. Two sets of eyes, wild with childlike glimmer, stared forward as Anaya crossed to the other side of the room. Her own focus, a knife of resolve. She moved between them. She was sure they wouldn't have minded her unless she obstructed the view of the wall. She stood next to Shayna for a moment, measuring her. Shayna was so level-headed. And look at her now. What had Michael done to her? What had the square done to both of them? She took a deep breath. Then, she lowered a shoulder into her dear friend, and Shayna went toppling over onto the tan carpet. She looked up at Anaya with amazement, but it was definitely Shayna looking up, not the mesmerized figure she'd been before. Taking no chances, Anaya instructed her friend to get out of their house or so help her God. She let this threat linger, and Shayna filled in the gaps herself. This was just as well, since Anaya wasn't sure how she would have followed them up anyway. Scrambling to regain her footing, Shayna skittered out of the room, down the stairs, and out of the house. She didn't know that Alexander was already gone and had no plans for getting herself home. Her main concern was getting out of that room and escaping. Escaping Anaya. Escaping the square. Everything. Anaya followed to lock the door, and once she had, she pressed her back against it. Her heart was thudding clumsily against her ribcage. She breathed, squeezed her eyes shut, and reevaluated. Shayna's well-being was now none of her concern, and she took the stairs two at a time to return to her husband. What had changed in him while she was away, she couldn't guess. But as she returned, she was greeted by her first bolt of true terror. Michael was not only reaching into the square, but he was gripping it. His fingers were planted into the left and right sides, his face twisted in concentration. She tried again in vain to reason with him, asking him what on earth he was doing. And at least this time, he answered, disturbing as his responses were. He pleaded with her for help, groaning that he needed to get out, that he wasn't going to fit, that he didn't belong in here, that he had to get out. If he could just make it a little bigger, then he could get through. Dread paralyzed her. He began to moan and he placed a foot on the wall, trying to gain leverage, trying to force the square wider. The sight of his desperation finally broke through her fear. Anaya wrapped herself around his torso, as she had so lovingly just the previous morning. But this time, she heaved backwards, digging her heels into the carpet as she tried to shift her entire body weight against his. They struggled for a moment in this embrace, but his scrambling unbalanced him, and she was able to use her momentum, crashing them both with a thud against the bedroom floor. She gripped him tighter, expecting resistance, expecting him to try and muscle his way off of her. At a foot taller than her and a few dozen pounds heavier, it wouldn't have been hard. But instead, he turned himself slowly to look at her, lifting himself with his hands on either side of his head. She looked at him, and the fear in his eyes melted, giving way to confusion. Confusion quickly faded into genuine happiness to see her. Ignoring the tussle they just had, it was the expected expression of a husband greeting his wife after a long day at work. It took everything she had not to lash out at the suddenness of this change. As he helped them to their feet, he laughed. See? Everything was fine. There was nothing in there. It was just a square after all. If anything, maybe it would raise the property value. Maybe it was even deep enough that it qualified as another bedroom. She smiled, convincingly enough, swallowing her fury and pulling him into a hug, forcing her eyes closed to fend off the outline of that loathsome shape. As they separated, she tactfully guided him out of the room, making sure his focus was on her until they were safely downstairs and settled in on the couch. Michael was the expected level of gracious as they sorted out what they had to do for the evening, but Anaya suspected deception in every suggestion. He didn't actually want to be helpful. She knew it. He only wanted to sneak away from her and return upstairs to his prized possession. So, she insisted that he should just sit there and find something funny for them to watch. She would join him soon. He should just make himself comfortable. Luckily, his favorite evening tea was already sweet. She was also lucky that antihistamines made him as sleepy as they did. She reminded herself that it was only cold medicine. It wasn't like she was poisoning him. She just needed some time to think, and Michael's nap would give her the time she needed to wrap her head around things and make a plan. If he noticed the change in taste, he didn't mention it. As soon as his belly laughs turned into drowsy chuckles, voiceless little puffs of air, and finally, gentle snores, Anaya's plan would have worked perfectly, but her adrenaline rush subsided as well. Anaya didn't notice that her own breath had been slowing alongside his. She'd gotten a little bit too comfortable on the couch next to him. She didn't realize until she awoke an hour later that Michael was gone. Michael disappeared on a Thursday afternoon. It was technically Friday morning now. She hadn't slept. She sat on the bed, staring across at her arch nemesis, the square. Though she'd known there was nowhere else he could possibly be, she'd searched the house thoroughly. His car was still parked out front. She checked the basement, even around the outside of the house. In her search, she'd found herself looking up at the exterior of the bedroom, where the other side of the square should have been. But from this angle, there was no indication of anything unusual, inside or out. Where did the tunnel lead? And how had he found a way in? Back inside, her search had devolved into pacing. She thought about calling the police, but what would be the point? To file a missing persons report? He wasn't missing. She knew exactly where he'd gone. It didn't make any sense, but she knew. The square in the wall hadn't changed its shape or its size. Now, she was sitting on the bed, daring it to do something, to do anything, to make the first move. She knew that it wouldn't, but how gratifying would that have been? Its very presence made her question her own sanity. If it would move or warp, bulge outward in some way, shift its dimensions so she could really be sure, then she could really and truly know that she'd gone completely insane. The square refused to do anything. It sat smugly on the wall, unmoving, unthreatening. If you only saw it in passing, you might think it was some sort of bold art piece, or even just an accident. The result of some roughhousing or domestic dispute. But it wasn't. There was no accidental or incidental mark or hole. Not with those corners. Not with that mocking, simple exactness. Over the course of the evening, Anaya's relationship with the square had grown. Now, it was as unhealthy as Michael's had been. She'd spoken to the square, pleaded with it, screamed at it, insulted, taunted, and cried at it. Nothing. There was one thing, though, she realized, that she hadn't been brave enough to try. She would have looked graceful, even seductive, as she crept off the bed. That is, if her arms weren't shaking, giving away her fear. She held her left wrist in her right hand to steady it. Then, she clenched and unclenched her fingers a few times, as if to say, "I'm really gonna do this." Her hesitation was brief. Then, she was past it, crossing the threshold. Fingertips, then knuckles, then palm. She didn't feel any change. She didn't know what she'd been expecting. But as the hand beyond the square became the hand and the wrist, she imagined that there might have been a tingling or a change in temperature. Something. But no. She might as well have just been reaching further into her bedroom. And really, wasn't she? She pulled her hand back out, studying it. No marks, no cuts, no bruises. Maybe it really was just a square in the wall. Maybe Michael had gone out somewhere on foot. Or he and Shayna and Alexander were playing some elaborate and tasteless prank on her. Bolstered by curiosity, she reached in again. This time, slowly, and with continued intention. Up to the elbow, bending her arm, she let the tips of her fingers dare to prod at the interior of the square. The top, the bottom, the sides. Everything seemed normal enough. She hadn't spent much time feeling her bedroom walls, but that was probably what they felt like. It was as she was comparing the inside to the outside that she felt something. Something that she thought was a breath. Snatching her hand back to her body, she gripped it, peering into the nothingness of the tunnel. Her head moved in small, swift movements as she scanned every inch of it. As far as she could see down the unnerving tube. Maybe it had just been her imagination. Was it even worth exploring? It was just an empty square, breath or no breath. But if that was the case, there was nothing to be afraid of, right? Nothing could touch her if nothing was there at all. In Michael's absence, it seemed that she'd taken to arguing with herself instead of him. Whatever combination of emotions inspired her, she reached into the square again, this time, braving it as far as the bicep. Her hand lingered for a moment in empty space, and then, yes, she definitely felt something this time. Her hand jerked back reflexively, but she forced herself to choke down the rising panic and press on, stretching her arm to its limits until she felt it again. It was more solid than a breath, but barely. It was feathery, downy, and she could almost sense something more solid connected behind it. This time, it was the turn of whatever was on the other side to react and to withdraw. Feeling it lurch so reactively, she banged her shoulder on the top portion of the square. Was there actually something there? She still thought of it as a tunnel to the outside after all of this, and she imagined a raccoon or a cat trapped where it shouldn't be. She thought of calling an exterminator or maybe the police after all. But sleep deprivation and stubbornness fueled her resolution. Her toes strained upward, forcing her ear against the wall as her body strained to give her as much ingress as possible. Her muscles ached until she reached as far as she could. Until there it was again. But this time, the physical sensation was without question skin. More specifically, it was the soft, ragged edges of fingertips. Again, the sensation scooted away from her, but she turned her palm, offering her hand to the unseen in as passive a gesture as she could manage. The fingertips returned, this time curiously itching her hand. Her own fingers gently closed, holding gingerly onto the hand she'd just discovered in the square. Whatever was there returned the pressure in a way that was at first fragmented and then forceful, but not aggressive. A hand that begged to be held, to be connected with. And slowly, Anaya was realizing to be helped. There was someone in the wall. And it began to dawn on her that they needed to come out. Steadying her breath was out of the question, but she tried as the hand quivered desperately against hers to tell it that she did want to help, to just stay there. This last assurance almost made her cackle. She wasn't sure what choice the person had, if it even was a person. What if it was just a disembodied hand? Or something worse? She pushed these thoughts from her mind as she let go and pulled her arm out of the square. Briefly, she felt fingernails scratch her as it flailed in confusion at her sudden departure. She didn't notice the bright pink scratches on her palm as she rushed into the bedroom closet and grabbed a box, the tallest thing that she could find in such a rush. Mounting it, she wasn't much taller, maybe a foot higher off the ground. Maybe it was enough to give her an extra few inches down into the tunnel and better control as she returned her arm into the square and prepared to act. The hand was still there and latched onto hers with a dreadful need. But this time, she was ready. She grabbed it, palm to palm, and tried to convey to whomever or whatever that she would not let it go this time. Pressing her other hand inside against the wall, Anaya pulled. At first, she feared it was useless, that she wasn't going to be strong enough, or that the other was far too stuck. But then, gradually, she felt something give. Now, she was holding the other hand by the wrist, and then by the forearm. Soon, she could pull enough of her own arm out that she could see there really was another hand gripping hers. And behind that hand, there was more. A thick, a rhythmic humming sound, like a voice, but something muffled and distressed. Success overwhelmed her fear and bolstered her efforts as she pulled with more power than she ought to have. She was slick with sweat and tears as the other hand passed the threshold of the square. The groaning grew clearer, and she realized she was groaning too. At first from the effort, but then from mounting horror. But she couldn't stop. She refused to stop. Her grip was beginning to waver. She gave another mighty tug, but at this odd angle, she lost her balance. The box tipped out from under her, and she fell awkwardly, bumping her hip on the floor and narrowly avoiding cracking her head on the baseboard of the bed. She lay there for a moment, stunned. As she lifted herself onto one elbow, she saw the arm waving blindly through the square in the wall. And it was in this moment of clarity that she regretted everything. The arm was through the square enough that it could bend at the elbow. It pressed its hand against the bedroom wall, patting a few times to determine what it was feeling, testing its solidity. Then, with a fixed determination, the arm planted itself and began to push. As it pushed, more of it spilled out of the square. If Anaya thought she was horrified to see the form leaking into her bedroom, it was nothing compared to the sounds that followed. Bones cracked as the shoulder displaced itself, making way for hair that finally revealed the top of a grotesque head. She heard the skull pop and split as too much of a man tried to force itself through a space too small. Blood poured down the face that had been smashed and mutilated on its journey through the opening. And as the mouth made its way into her reality, it screamed. She watched as the shape of her husband struggled to squeeze itself back into the world. Bawling and gurgling through lungs that had been punctured by ribs, she backed herself against the bed, gaping as viscera spilled down the wall, nearly disappearing against the dark purple paint before staining the carpet a cruel brown. His eyes, jutting out of a misshapen head, stared at her. They stared into her. She couldn't pull her gaze from his. His shrieks echoed in the brightening room as the sun began to rise. It took her a few moments to make out what he was actually saying, but finally, the words pierced her mind. He was begging and pleading that she help him, that he didn't belong in here, and worse, that it was coming. That if she could just make the square a little bit bigger, maybe he could get through to her. Maybe he could get out. Morning's beams poured in from the east as Michael's other arm yanked itself free, stripping some of its flesh on the square's perfect corners. Now, with both hands free, the thing that Michael had become began to push and lurch in violent thrusts. His pelvis creaked as it fought against the confines of the square. His body had been completely mangled, compressed as it squeezed its way through the 8-inch by 8-inch tunnel, an impossibly tight fit through an impossibly rigid opening. Anaya couldn't even find her voice, even as her husband's crippled form wrenched itself completely free of the square and flopped with a sickening smack on the floor. It reached in what could have either been victory or pain, and it flailed its ruined limbs. She watched silently, patiently, waiting for something she didn't know what. The figure in front of her had robbed her of any response, even as it dug its gruesome nails into the carpet and tried to pull itself toward her, still moaning and pleading all the while. But before she was forced to act, Michael's wrecked throat gurgled its last, and his eyes, still locked on hers, faded into those of the dead. For a few moments, there was only silence. After the wailing and snapping and slurping, it seemed almost out of place. She sat with Michael, as they sat so many times together in this very room, gazing into each other's eyes. But now, Michael wasn't gazing back. And more, she knew she needed to stand up. She rose, tearing her eyes away from the poor frame in front of her. She found herself once more seeking out the square, the foul shape that appeared so suddenly and caused so much simply by existing. She had hated it. She had feared it. Now, there wasn't even a word to match the feeling. As she looked into the square in the wall, something had changed. She craned her neck to get a better look. Stepping delicately through the mess of her late husband to draw herself closer, her brow clenched as she braved the tunnel once more and saw something moving within its depths. There was something else in there, something far off, but it was moving closer. She saw what had drawn her husband into the square in the first place, and what had sent him screaming and writhing back out. She saw his longing, and she saw his utter abject terror as the thing inside slithered closer and closer toward the opening, closer and closer to the bedroom. Scurrying and dragging and forcing its way toward her. And then she ran.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This was The Square in the Wall, written by David Andrew Laws, narrated by Ian Epperson. Music was composed by Caleb Ritchie. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Bridget Freeman. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Michael Vasquez, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Delta Tango, Chantel Payne, Nick, Stephanie Klinger, Jake R., Abigail Perez, Emily Toll, Amanda Lee, Cozamine, K-Cup Chuck, and Adeline. Thank you so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. And check us out on social media. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram under Pod13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links to all of that in our show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. And you can find that in the show notes, too. Bridget Freeman is lightly touching your fingertips. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.